On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. On today's program, Mark Schipetta joins me. That's coming up after the stupid music. Well, here he is. You might say to yourself, who is Mark Schipetta? I have no idea. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. I've always been curious. I've done this podcast several times, a few handfuls. Yes. Is the lady that does your introduction, is she hot?
I think she is.
That's not Shanahan acting like a British female, is it?
He is so talented to put on these voices like this. It's Nicolette. I don't know her last name. She's British. I've never met her. Oh. She was a voice that contributed to the program.
A voice over and out?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
So it's kind of over and out.
Yeah, that's pretty much
voice
it.
Voice over and out.
I don't think I want to know her.
There's something
could be
that's
trouble.
So nice about that British voice that you just kind of want to leave it alone.
I think that's true too, and I think it's the same for females. I think when they hear a guy with a British accent, they also somewhat pause.
Yeah, there's something sexy and sensual, and I just like the British. Out of all the accents, I like the British accent.
And oddly enough, the British are supposed to be stuffy and over proper and sexually inhibited and smell and have bad teeth. But yet, when you hear the British accent, it's somewhat alluring. It's odd.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of British people in television. A lot of the reality based filming I've done here in America have been from Brits that have come over. For whatever reason, they kind of have the market cornered here in America. And I don't know, I just find myself, you know, falling in love with them all.
Okay. awkward, but okay.
Excuse me.
For those of my audience who don't know who you are, maybe they're new listeners, and that happens.
Yes.
Mark Schipetta is a, what the hell are you?
How old am I?
No, you are a private detective.
I am.
A private investigator.
Yes.
By trade, that's what you've done for a lot of your life.
Yes, on my license, my work business license, it actually says private detective.
Do you know there was a race car driver, and the name of the race car driver was Dick Trickle?
Oh, really?
He was a NASCAR
driver.
Yeah,
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I never got over that.
Was he related to Rusty Kuntz or Rusty Kuntz? he was a baseball player. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, I had his baseball card growing up. No, that's
just being disgusting.
No, his name was Rusty Kuntz.
Well, this is awful.
And it was
this is awful. And these people have no clue, apparently. There's just no clue whatsoever what's going on. Right. Anyway.
Dick Trickle.
So you're private.
That's what happens when you hit your 40s.
That's what happens when you're one, if they're going to call you that.
Right.
My God, that's awful. That's like Arlene Pussy. I don't know why that would be. Actually, any first name with that last name would be ridiculous.
It's like having the name Richard Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a double negative.
Certainly, it's right. Why bother?
Yeah.
why even say your name? You're a double negative. Why right. even bother saying it?
Go ahead.
You also you've done a lot of media stuff.
You've done
radio before. You've also been in quite a few television pilots.
I have.
So, you know, you've been around the block, new kid.
Yes, right. No pun intended. Yeah. Right. No, I have a constant need for...
sex.
Yes, that as well. Not right now, because we had it last night, so I'm like on a two-day window at my age before I crave it again.
All right, just don't tag me.
I didn't tag anyone. Well, I only tagged one person last night.
We'll talk about tagging in a second.
Yes.
But before we get into the tagging thing, so you've been involved in the media quite a bit.
Yeah, I just have a need for expression, whatever. Yeah. Which we were talking about off the air, that, you know, in my line of work, being a detective, it's somewhat... of a contradiction, because when you're a detective, you're supposed to be covert, but right. I tend to be overt. Extremely overt in my ways. But having an expressive personality also helps when it comes to investigating and talking to people and having to slip into certain characters and learning how to be empathetic and sit there and talk to these people in jails and prisons that have committed heinous crimes. I'm a well-rounded dick.
I didn't say that.
Very well-rounded.
Now, you,
a lot of girth.
All right.
To my profession.
All right, fine. Now, you also testify in court, and is that a weird thing? Do you have to be like extra careful for you? Is it just like second nature?
You know what? I equate testifying to like being a theater. Mm-hmm. Or like being on stage or doing a film role, I guess my point is, anytime that I testify, it's like getting ready to go on stage. It's like waiting for the curtain to open, and you get nerves no matter what. I've been testifying on all levels of court for over 25 years, and I testified last week, and I'm on call today for a case, and you get nervous. You're sitting there out in the hallway, which is like the back of the stage, and you're waiting to get called, which is like waiting for the curtain to open, and you're running your lines or your testimony in your head, which is like running your lines in your head. And then when you get out there, and you the only thing different you do testify in court as opposed to being in a play is you don't have to go under oath on a play.
Yeah, that's true too.
You're playing a witness. But you get nervous. Mm-hmm. And I get nervous all the time when I testify. And it's funny, I was testifying a few weeks ago, and I had my cell phone in my back pocket, and you're supposed to shut. I shut it. I put it on vibrate. Because I just forgot to power it down.
Right.
And when I was sitting there in the chair, it was going.
Right.
I was like trying to press my ass down on the chair. I'm looking through my left eye to see if the judge is noticing the. And I'm trying to talk a little louder while. So I'm trying to give testimony while I'm.
Did they ever know it was you?
No.
Oh, good.
Now, that happened to me like 15 years ago down in New Bedford Superior Court here in southern Massachusetts, the Whaling City. And this one, cell phones like first came out, and you really didn't understand how to put it on vibrate or put it on. You thought you put it on silent, but it really wasn't on silent. And it rang while I was giving testimony. Now, this wasn't a seated testimony, so my ass wasn't muffling it. I was standing giving testimony.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And the judge said, excuse me, sir, would you like to answer that?
Ouch.
Yeah, he could have thrown me in contempt of court.
Or in cell phone jail.
Yeah, cell phone jail, right?
Yeah, Facebook jail.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, as it was ringing, I saw him secretly like bent over, and he was dialing me. No,
he probably thought it was his phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And his robe was flapping, so he kind of thought it was him.
Yeah, testifying's nerve wracking. Yeah, it really is because I'm testifying the majority of the time as a witness for the defense.
Yeah.
All right, so when you're a criminal investigator, in my criminal caseload, I'm testifying on behalf of the attorney who represents the defendant out of 10 times.
Yes.
You know, so I'm getting crossed by the district attorney's office, and their job is just to make me look like a complete ass and a buffoon.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask
and
you
question
that.
Me.
That's what they do. Their job is to make you look not credible.
Yeah. How many cases do you work a year?
Yeah.
How many witness interviews do you do? Did you submit a report on this case?
Because so that can't be pleasant for you.
No.
Or do you not care at this point?
I just know how to deal with them.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say too much.
Yeah.
You say just what you need to say.
Yeah.
Because if you keep rambling like I do when I'm on the radio,
yeah.
you get yourself in trouble.
Well, certainly.
Because we have something here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts called, discovery. So both sides are technically supposed to turn everything over to each other.
Uh-huh.
So there's kind of a gray area when it comes to certain evidentiary stuff that I find. So,
yeah.
So if I interview someone, I typically will, do it, and I'll mm-hmm. do it orally, and then I'll mm-hmm. scratch some notes down on a notepad.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not technically a report. If I take those notes, transcribe them, turn them around, print them, send them to the attorney. Now that kind of crosses over that gray area where that information now becomes what's called discoverable. Okay, so in order for us to keep it, because lots of times that information we don't want discoverable, and we don't want the other side to know what it is. So I always keep it in my work product notes. So there's always a lot of argument back and forth between the district attorney's office and the defense side saying, I know your investigator spoke to this person. I'd like to see his report. And then the attorney will say, well, he never gave me a report. He only orally updated and only has notes. So then when I'm on the stand, if they didn't get certain information, now they'll question me on that. Well, how many mm-hmm. people a year do you interview? And how do you remember all this stuff? And how'd you remember today if you didn't write a report? If you mm-hmm. didn't do,
Wow.
Yeah, so they sit there and they try to discredit me when yeah. I'm on the stand.
Is are you allowed to discredit them? In other words, when they start saying, well, how many cases have you actually done? Can you turn around to the attorney and say, well, how many cases have you really represented in which you won? That kind of thing.
No.
You're not allowed to do that.
No, that's
just... It should.
And that looks passive aggressive and looks unprofessional when you're sitting there in front of a jury.
That's professional for him to question your.
Yeah.
I see.
So the majority of my cases are criminal defense,
yeah.
and I testify. But about six yeah. months ago, I got called up. Now it's funny. I did a case maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got hired by a private company. They own a bakery, and they hired me, and they were involved in a suit. One of their employees was complaining that another employee was. Making sexual advances at them mm-hmm. and, in a discrimination case. So this ended up on the civil side, and there was a hearing up at the McCormick building in Boston. Now, this is 10 years later they called me, and I had to go back and I don't have to keep my records for that long, and I don't know why it dragged out. It might have been 8 years, but I don't know why it dragged out so long. So they supplied me with a copy of my report that I had submitted years, wow. Years ago. And... So not the attorney that represented my client that hired me, but the other side, the attorneys that represented the woman who was saying she was being sexually harassed, mm-hmm. they called me in to testify. Now, it was a less formal of a hearing. It wasn't in front of a judge. It was in some sort of some type of a clerk or something. So they get me on the stand. It's like more like an office, and I'm sitting down, and I did have to go under oath. And... The attorney was like a from like Defenders or something mm-hmm. from like a local college that this lady probably got for free.
Mm-hmm.
He's a younger than my oldest child,
mm-hmm.
and he asked me point blank if I ever wrote a book.
Oh,
and then he asked me if I had ever been on the Howard Stern show.
Oh my God!
Right.
So he did some research.
Yeah, and then he asked, well, you wrote a book, and what was that book on? And I said. It was on infidelity.
Right.
Oh, okay, so would you consider yourself an expert on infidelity?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, yes, it's a big part of my business, but mm-hmm. It's not all that I handle right. as a licensed investigator.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to discredit
yes.
me, basically saying that I have no expertise
yeah.
in investigating discrimination cases
wow.
because I'm in the media and because I'm
yeah.
known in the media as a cheating spouse
right.
expert. But I fired back on that case,
yeah.
and I said, look, investigating is investigating. Speaking to someone is speaking to someone. Taking down the facts is taking down the facts. As an investigator, mm-hmm. I'm trained in all areas of
right.
of the investigative world where
mm-hmm.
some aren't.
Fantastic.
And the judge actually the clerk stepped in and kind of shut this kid up.
Good.
So So I'm sitting there,
yeah.
and I'm just fuming. I'm pissed. And that's the only reason he was bringing me in,
mm-hmm.
so... she didn't allow any of that, and then she dismissed me. She said, she let me go.
Get out of here.
And I wanted so badly to yeah. walk by. When I was walking by, I wanted to say to this little puke, I wanted yeah. to say, Yeah, give me a call after. I'll give you a signed copy of my book.
Wow. And oddly enough, after the trial or after that, yeah, you sold like 50 copies out yeah, in the lobby.
Two on. So I had them in my briefcase.
So good things do come out of it.
Yeah. So one of the that's the first time in my 25-year career, or the last 10 to 12 years, where I've kind of stepped into the media spotlight, that someone actually took the time to Google me and you try to use that against me and discredit me. So
I know that, and I happen to have here, I'm holding it up now, a picture of you with a cow. And okay, so now let's talk about something that you've been doing recently. You work with a... No, not smoking pot. you do charity work.
I do.
Because your kids are involved in something.
Yes. I just started. I've done a lot of advocacy and fundraising for muscular dystrophy. My sons have Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, which is a lethal muscle-wasting disease. They're 21 years old and happy... you know, mentally healthy boys. So I decided after all these years to start my own foundation, my own 501c3, as they call it here. And it's called the Wheelchair Strong Foundation. And I hired counsel, and we're getting everything, the articles of organization are being done, and we're having our first meeting next month, and we're going to vote on everything. And we're going to be running two or three big events a year, and the money's going to go towards Duchenne's. But not only Duchenne's, I want to try to give back to other diseases, so other childhood diseases as well I'm going to be donating to. So, yeah, my wife thinks I'm, you know, amazing but crazy because I do so much, you know. So, yeah, I'm excited, and I have, so my whole mission statement when I run charity events is to raise money through entertainment, because I hate to just ask people for money because there's so many wonderful causes out there.
Right.
And so I like to do an entertainment value when I ask for the
money. You know people in the entertainment industry, so many of your friends and acquaintances
so it's easier.
Do help out. Yeah. Well, we're doing it. We're paying for a show, but that those monies go to the fund. The
people that know I've done everything from cage fighting for money to WWF wrestling to now the latest thing, which I think is going to stick, is my annual Comedy for a Cause show. Yeah. It's coming up September 29th. We're 6 months away. It's funny because I've kind of been sitting on it, and then I'm like, oh, crap, you know, 6 months, five and a half, 6 months, not that far.
You're getting older so much quicker with your silly shows.
Yeah, we got JJ Jimmy Walker coming from Good Times, Kid Dynamite. He's going to host it, and Lenny Clark's coming back. He's a legend, and I don't know if I can say this on the air, but...
No.
I'm trying, and we spoke about this when we socialized, trying to get a celebrity to come into my VIP room just to kind of bring more masses in. And I like to go off script a little bit and bring people to this community here in Massachusetts that they may not necessarily ever be able to meet or see in their lifetime.
Right.
Which I think is fun. You know, like, who the hell gets to meet Jimmy Walker, JJ,
well, the first question is who would want to, but...
Right.
but assuming you would. No, seriously, he's a fun guy. And, it is an opportunity, and it is for the Jet Foundation. And
no, it's for the Wheelchair Strong Foundation.
Oh, okay.
It's my foundation.
Oh, that's right. But you used to do work for them.
Well, I will
them.
Be donating to the Jet
to them,
Foundation.
So it's a...
We're all friends.
Correct.
Friends. Well, you know what the thing is, like my kids told me, they said, Daddy, you run all these comedy shows.
Yes, they said that.
And they still call me Daddy at 21. I mean, your kids
you're older than 21.
Yes, right? they said, well, why can't you, I said to them after the last comedy show, did you like the show? Did you listen? Like, well, Dad, they're kind of all old and, which they are. And they said, well, why can't you get like Kevin Hart or something? and I go, well, yeah. All right, well. I go, I can get Kevin Hart, but in about 40 years when he's doing the VFW.
Right, exactly. Right. At the age that you don't want him at.
Right, yeah. So I'm not getting Kevin Hart right now. And I said, you also need to understand that the demographic that are at these shows are people
Correct.
Your dad's age and up.
Correct.
We're looking at 40 to to 70.
Right.
That's the demographic.
Where the bucks are, baby.
Right. That's where the they're the ones with the money. Yeah. And they're the ones that are waxing nostalgic.
Yes.
That want to meet these people from their childhood before they die.
Absolutely. The kids should understand that.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, they probably think that dad can just call up Kevin Hart and Kevin Hart says, "Sure, I'll do it for free."
So my publicist who helps me out has a is making a phone call to an actor. I wouldn't call him an A-list actor. He was an A-list actor. Seeing if he'll do it for the minimal fee that I can only afford to pay, being a nonprofit. And he was involved in something that you waxed on and you waxed off.
The clapper.
Oh, that's the clue.
Oh, the clue. Is this turtle wax?
No. Wax on, wax off. That's the clue.
I don't know.
You don't?
No. I mean, I know the, but I don't know who that was.
You know that state? You know that term? Wax on, wax off.
Well, it was a television commercial.
Danielson.
I don't know.
That's the second clue.
I don't know who you're talking
about.
Oh,
my God. You're aging yourself.
Danielson.
See, the problem is.
There is a problem here.
We have a decade between us and age. Even though we're great friends and we have 10 years between us in age,
which
but
isn't a lot, really.
No, but some
and you're older than
from
I
talking,
am, really.
Right, from talking to you socially.
Yeah,
something happened to you in the '80s. Like you went somewhere.
Oh, let me tell you, I didn't care about anything, even through the '60s or seventies. I was not that connected when I was younger.
Unless
you could smoke it.
This is an 80s star.
I don't know who that is. Was this a television commercial?
No, a star of a movie.
Oh. Oh, see, I never watched movies. You know I don't watch movies. Is this... Okay.
In his movie... Again, I don't know if I'm going to get this guy.
Braveheart?
No, I wish. I don't know if I can get this guy, but my publicist... is also his publicist, so he's going to ask him if he's free.
Could you say who the person is, please?
Well, he was in a movie.
You're not going to do it, are you?
He was in a movie that
we
all read the book growing up.
Tom Sawyer?
Maybe not. No, see, people my age, people 40 to...
Catcher in the Rye?
People 40 to 50 read this book in youth. Take a caller, see if they can...
Caller, do you know who it is? No, I don't know.
He was in this cult movie back in the early 70s.
Jackie Chan?
And he starred in this movie with a bunch of young actors. Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze.
Oh, was it that Breakfast Club thing?
No, The Outsiders.
You don't know The
Outsiders?
I was inside at the time. I know I do. I seriously don't. I don't know. I don't know who they are.
Yeah, you don't know...
Who's the person?
He trained under...
He's not going to say
the
name.
He trained under Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, Ralph Macchio?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get him.
All right.
I don't know if I will.
You know, I never saw that movie, The Karate Kid. I never saw the movie.
You think he'd be a good draw for a local comedy show?
He's probably available.
He's only 55 years old.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't even know who the hell he was.
Oh, my God.
And even if I did, I would say, because from what I saw of that movie, I didn't see the whole thing. It was just like...
Well, there were three of them. Thank you.
I don't think it was a very good movie.
Oh, it's a great movie from the 80s.
I know. I didn't really care for
him it. Michael J. Fox from the
J. Fox from Family Ties on television.
Yeah.
See, if these kids weren't on television, I don't know who they are because I didn't go to the movies ever.
But Michael J. Fox made more of a name for himself for being in the Back to the Future movies.
Eventually.
Have you ever watched those
I knew
movies?
Him more from Family Ties. Yes, Family Ties.
Family
Ties. I watched the Back to the Future movies, sure.
I watched an episode of Carson last week, and of course we always go back there, but Michael J. Fox was on.
Yeah.
And he was in his final season of Family Ties.
Yeah.
And they showed a clip from one of the shows, and I laughed as hard last week as I did.
Wow.
You know, 40 years ago.
Well, I mean, see, here the problem, we've talked about this off the air, is that if they don't live locally, then you have to pay for them to be flown in. And yeah. and that's and you have to put them up for the night, and you don't want them in your house, and yet so that takes away from what the your foundation can get when you start spending too much money on these people.
Well,
so you know they have to do it out of somewhat the kindness of their livers.
Yes. It does. Yes, yeah. right. That is true. I don't know if I'm going to get him. My publicist is reaching out to him.
Yeah.
So I would love to be able to get him. And I think, you know, I mean, 2 years ago, I brought in Stephen Shripa. Nobody knew who he was, but a lot of people came to see him.
I didn't know who he was because, again, it's a movie involved.
No.
No,
wasn't a movie involved with him. He's famous for what's been voted as the greatest show on television. What's always in the top two of greatest shows ever on television? You know, in this
Cheers and Seinfeld.
No, it's a drama.
My So-Called Life.
No.
One of those Godfather things?
Sopranos. Sopranos has been voted. Like,
I didn't get into that.
But he was in The Sopranos.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but he's now on Blue Bloods, which is a pretty big show.
I don't even watch
But he's
that.
On the show with Tom Selleck. And So people didn't know the name Stephen Shripa.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything.
But when I put him, he
walked out on stage and he said, "Anybody got any questions for me?" I do. Like,
but it wasn't about
here?
Walking on stage. It was the fact that when people saw him on my promotional material, they said, "Oh my God, that's Bobby Bacalari from Sopranos."
Here's what I would do.
Yes.
But it would only be for me. I bring the lights down. The show begins. I bring the lights down. And then immediately on the screen is a clip from Leave It to Beaver. And then the lights come up. And then without introduction, walking on stage, Jerry Mathers.
I could probably get Jerry Mathers.
Now, he's something that people could ask questions of.
Oh, you know what's awesome?
But you got to have the clips. Yes. So you got to have the clips.
I watched a great documentary the other morning. Oh, it was so good. And it was... And the irony is, this guy was just at the Hanover Mall here, and we talked about this also. Mm-hmm. All right, so the documentary was 4 years old, but it was about the life and times of Batman, Adam West.
Yes,
but it was a documentary.
Oh, he's good. Get him.
It was a documentary about his life.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you watch that?
I did see that.
It was very good.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, very nice guy. But he was like 80 in that documentary, but he's 88 now.
Yeah.
And he was just at the Westgate, at the Hanover Mall two weeks ago with with Burt Ward.
Yeah.
They've been doing this for...
Yeah.
But he was one of Hollywood's handsomest guys, and he was a great actor, and he got so typecasted right after that show. That show only ran for like 3 years.
But you know, Mark, it's a good example of go with what it is.
Yeah.
Because he didn't, all these actors, they want to break out and do these. But if you stick to what made you famous, you can ride that the rest of your life.
Yeah, but he was in that group with like Sean Connery and James Dean and Steve McQueen like back then.
Yeah.
But just... He looks for 88 years old.
Yeah.
Like, just crazy. And the stuff that he was doing, you know, after the funny thing is, you know, it said the Batman only ran for 3 years, but you know, during those 3 years, they had 140 episodes.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. And then it was in reruns, like, forever.
That's so 140 episodes in today's day in television, that'd be like a 7-year run.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they do like 26 a year, yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, it would be... I'd love to get him. And these are all my guilty pleasures in life. I want to meet these people.
Well, there's a lot of them. I mean, I'm sure one of them would be happy to do this.
Well, if the Karate Kid will come, he's a karate middle-aged man now.
Yes.
You think he'll wear his gi?
See, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what a gi is. I don't know what a gi is.
A gi is the outfit you wear when you do karate.
I thought that was a robe.
It's like a robe.
Okay.
And it has a belt.
I know the belt thing. Yeah,
and the different colored belts are...
I mean that they're different things.
Yeah.
You have different levels. Yeah, I get that.
I don't know. I just... one of my board members who runs all my comics, like, Mark, you don't need all these people to show. People love you. They love the cause.
No, they don't love you. And they also, you do need these people because that is what sells. And they're wrong. They're being very kind. They're being very, very nice. We have to take a little bit of a break because right. I now have things I have to do, believe it or not. We'll be right back
Hit
after.
The tinkle?
Well, that too. We'll be right back after these words.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router and consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Welcome back to the program. Mark Chipeta joins me on this particular journey. Hey, we're making an announcement that Wednesday evening, March 22nd, is the Taste of Metro South. Mm. If you live in New England, Brockton is where this is taking place. It's about 20 miles south of Boston, about 26 miles north of Providence. And it's at the Massasoit Conference Center. There, you can you pay one admission price and you walk around, and there are over 40 different restaurants and food vendors. You have a little bit of everything or more of one thing than another. And you just eat until you can't eat no more with the appetizers, desserts, entrees, gourmet things. It's just over the place. I will. I'll be doing... we have a booth. Yeah, Tori Lagarde will be there as well with me. And
thanks for the invite.
Mark might even stop by if I tell him about it.
Yeah, it sounds I've been to them. They're
very nice. Yeah, a lot of fun.
And it's at the conference center. It's not at the old location.
No, it's at the Massasoit Conference Center, which is the old Christo's too. It is bigger. It's a huge ballroom.
Yeah.
And here's how you get tickets. You can call. Can I have that for just a second there, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you?
Because I don't remember.
would you like me to say?
Yes. On the second page is the website in which you can get tickets and get more information. I think it's...
So you can go to MetroSouthTaste.com. Now, that is MetroSouthTaste.com, and that is a www dot beforehand. And does it look like the Phantom Gourmet is going to be there as well?
Yes, as well.
So that's pretty cool, but we won't know they're there.
Because you won't know that, because he's a phantom.
He's a phantom. It's a great take. I've been to several of them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great local restaurants here in the Metro South area. Mm-hmm. And they put extra toilets, like porta potties, during that event.
I don't think you need extra potties.
I don't know. Extra people, extra potty. Oh, you eat a lot of food. You gotta get rid of the food.
Well, it's a huge, huge bathroom. So I think everything's fine.
What's your favorite? I mean, it's a great event, but it's like a buffet.
It's like a huge buffet with everything.
But it's overwhelming.
It is. Well, that's why it's from 5:30 to 8 o'clock, so you just eat for 2.5 hours.
That's why it's called a taste.
Yeah, it is a taste.
It's not a metro, it's not an annual
Metro South buffet.
Like metro stuff your face.
But it is, because you can go back to the table like 20 times if you want and just eat what you love.
Take a little meatball, walk over and have a little, baklia.
Well, it's all different cultures and all different tastes and things.
Right,
it's
that's wonderful. The thing. That's the thing I was just going to say is that we have a very diverse community here. So I would like to think that there's going to be, tasty foods from different cultures
certainly,
there.
Well, certainly.
Some Cape Verdean, some Portuguese, certainly. Some Haitian cuisine.
It's lovely.
Some chicken. What's your favorite thing?
I like, in very small quantities, I like barbecue.
Yes.
Because it's prepared all day, it's slow cooked, it's extremely tender, and you can usually not get that flavor in your home barbecue grill or your smoker or something, like a restaurant
Ron,
kind of thing.
Ron. Then one of these days.
Oh, here we go.
When we are socializing again, we're on like a quarterly social schedule because you don't allow me to see you more than once a quarter.
I don't think you want to see me more than once a quarter.
There is a rib joint near our home that is out of this world. It is the best rib joint around. It's down the street from our house. It's called the Little Red Smokehouse.
Oh.
And it is fantastic. We went there on St. Patty's Day. So we try to support St. Patrick's Day. So we went and had barbecue.
Well, you're a man of support, right? Yeah, it's not about you.
Right.
It's about supporting the people. Yes. Right.
And Janice and I, all we do is go and get one drink and an order of pulled pork nachos.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's fresh, nice barbecue. Mm. Oh, it's so good.
Hmm.
I'm getting hungry right now. Mm-hmm. I'm getting so hungry, I think I need to poop.
You always have to poop. You know, out of all the people I know.
No, I don't. Once a day.
All right.
Yes, once a day.
You see, when you were training.
Yes.
We were doing a film, and Mark was training. This was the mixed martial arts thing.
Yes.
Where you take martial arts and you mix them up.
In a bowl.
And you were drinking like 29 gallons of water every 10 minutes.
Yes.
And you came over here to do a podcast. We had to stop like 50 times because you had to pee every 2 seconds. And it was amazing.
I
had to have a plumber come over after you left.
I wasn't pooping, though. I only did that
pooping.
Once a
no,
day.
No, you weren't pooping.
That's all peeing. And that's a way to lose weight quickly. And it's probably unhealthy for you.
In the same sense, all your impurities were coming out continually.
Yeah, I wish I could do that now. Mm.
Why can't you? Why can't you just drink a lot of water again?
I don't drink enough.
Not here, but...
Like, when you live with a nurse...
Oh, that's right. I forgot she was a nurse.
So I live with a nurse.
Yeah.
And, you know, often... Yeah, I tend to have good bathroom habits, but occasionally if I get up in the middle of the night, which I do a lot, to pee, you know, I'm half asleep and I won't flush. And then I won't leave, you know, anything bad in there, just pee. So she'll wake up in the morning and she'll text, I'm already gone. She'll text me and she's like, your pee's a little orange.
Yeah.
You better start drinking more water.
Or you better flush it before she sees what color it is. One of the best relationships I ever had in my life was, not the best, but one of the best. I got to be careful. I was in high school and there was this girl named Pat and she was a nurse. And she was in college. She graduated high school. I went for the older ones.
Mm.
When I say older, like 3 years older.
Tell me more.
And she was a nurse, and she was very tactile. And we would go out on dates. We would just sit in the car, so to speak. My view of this was that a nurse is wonderful because they know every single organ and what it does.
Yes.
And they know which ones to leave alone and which ones to say hello to continually. And it was just every time I went on a date with her, it was like I couldn't have been happier. It was just unbelievable. And I don't know if that's the same of all nurses or not, but man, I'll never forget her.
It's nice. You know, often I'll tell my wife, you know, this way your scrubs to bed. You know, get the lingerie, wear the scrubs. Yeah, she's, you know, nursing is, you know, I've bedded a few different professions in my life.
A few?
And I would say out of all the professions that nursing is my favorite and happens to be the most current.
Right.
So.
Well, and of course, you have to say that, but also there is a vast knowledge of the body, and I don't think that's a bad thing under the circumstances when it comes into play. That's
remember, I was once, I call it BJ, before Janice.
Right. I thought you were going somewhere else.
Yes, once BJ, before Janice, I was unfortunately married to an attorney.
Certainly.
So that didn't go over well.
How'd that work out?
Yeah.
No, we all make choices. Do you belong to BJ's Wholesale?
I do.
I don't know why I'm pointing over there.
I know, I'm looking over there, though.
If I belonged to that place, every time I got, we get out of the car and walk toward the building, I would have to laugh.
Chuckle. It's juvenile. It's because you're a child inside.
No, it's not because it's juvenile. It's because that represents something.
PJ, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why put it on a warehouse? I don't care what they're, I don't know if their name's Billy Bob or Billy Joe or whatever it is.
I don't even know what it stands for.
But don't use the stupid initials on something like that when it means something else to other people.
Did you think the BJs came before the BJ?
Someone's got to change the name, and it's probably not going to be the BJ people. Right. It probably can be the warehouse. They can change it at any time.
I don't have
sexual thoughts when I walk into Costco.
No. Right. Yeah, right. What's BJ stand for, though, other than not the sexual connotation, but what's BJ's wholesale stand for?
I don't know. If I cared, I would probably Google it, but then I'd sound silly. Right. So I don't know. Anybody can Google and find out, I assume. I assume it's somebody's name.
I got a membership there, and I just don't find myself going there as much as I should. Because, you know,
how often should you go?
I don't know. I mean, I talked to Janice about putting like an addition on the house so we can go to BJ's.
You pretty much have to.
So we can stock up on, like, you know, she's like, well, we should go to BJ's and get all the stuff. You know, we can buy all our hand towels and our toilet paper and canned goods. And I go, well, we need a place for it. So we may have to build an addition on the house just so we could wholesale ourselves.
You don't. It's true that 80% of what these places sell are in bulk quantity to the point where it goes bad before you even use it up.
Right.
That's a fact. True. But they do have some stuff. If you want a TV or cell phone,
you get a 3-pack of high def TVs.
Well, that's the one thing they don't do. The one thing. Actually, I needed a pillow, and I was shopping all over the place for a really good gel memory foam pillow because my back hurts.
Yeah.
And I went all over the place, and then we happened to go to Costco for something else, and there's this bin of these very expensive pillows, and it was just single pillows. And it was $10. I think $10 for a pillow. It was unbelievable. And it's wonderful. So
I have the MyPillow.
I do, too. I had it for 3 years, and it started going bad on me.
Oh, I didn't know they were out 3 years ago. You got it before.
I got it when it first came
out.
Like it. As a matter of fact, your friend Howard Stern did a live commercial for it at first when they came out, and he said he has it, and he says the best thing he ever bought, and I did it based on what he said.
Yeah, of course he's saying that. They're sponsored.
Of course. It was wonderful for the first year or so, but then it loses its form. So I needed something else.
You just throw it back in the dryer, don't you? And just kind of heat it up and fluff it up. And
it's better, but it's not what it was. No.
It's like you hear the commercials.
But
what's the guy's name that I forget his name?
Billy Mays. I have no
idea. Hey, my name's so and so. You know, I'm the I'm an ex drug addict junkie that came up with an idea for a pillow, and now I'm a gazillionaire.
Yeah. Well, if you're an ex drug addict junkie, you spend most of your time lying on pillows, probably anyway.
like even in your wildest dreams, and I'm not that's
it's
great.
Marketing,
the guy's
marketing.
It is marketing, and the guy's he promotes himself on TV as a recovering alcoholic. So I'm not knocking an addict or an alcoholic, but like even in your darkest day, we all think of get rich quick schemes.
Mm-hmm.
Who says I want to invent a pillow?
Yeah, well, it's probably somebody else came up with it and said, I'm going to help you out here. You need to turn your life around. And he did. So, I mean, I got to give him props.
Maybe
for
he
that.
Was in prison and he just hated the prison pillows.
Kind of looks like he was, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he thought to himself, you know, I am so sick of this thin
prison
pillows.
Right.
Yeah.
If I ever get out of here.
If I ever get out of here, I'm just inventing the best freaking pillow ever.
I'm breaking out. I'm going to do that pillow thing. That's exactly probably what happened. Yeah.
I don't know. I've been in a few prisons, so.
Yes, but as a consultant.
Yes.
Yes. Make that clear, Mark, because someone may pull you into some type of a testification there and pull this up.
I was in Bridgewater last week.
Yes.
I had to meet a state trooper over at the Bridgewater prison complex here in Massachusetts. Yes. It's a huge facility. It's like a city when you pull in, and it's like 4 or 5 different institutions in there. There's the state mental hospital for the criminally insane. There's MassAC for the committed alcoholic and drug addicts. There's the treatment center for the sexually criminally disturbed people. And then there's a medium prison facility, a minimum prison facility of people that are just kind of riding out their sentences.
And then there's a gift shop.
And then there's a gift shop, right?
There really is.
Right, there is.
There really is.
Yeah. It But now they have an old, right? There's a gift shop. Yeah, but they make all this shit.
I know.
And they do some great craftsmanship.
Well, sure. What are you going to do all day? Right? What are you going to do all day?
I got a great cabinet once years ago.
Sure.
But no, I hadn't been in there in a while, and I had to meet a state trooper over there to photograph an impounded vehicle because they hold their vehicles there. And the old prison that I used to work at back in 1989, 1990, Southeastern Correctional Center, is now abandoned.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the parking lot just looking at it saying, I worked here when I was a 19-year-old kid. I had a hook on my belt for my skeleton keys. I used to walk up and down these hallways that were built in the 1700s.
Wow.
You know, and crazy. I mean, the things I've done in my life. You know, I'll be 48 years old in less than a month, and I've seen a lot and done a lot that most people haven't had the. You know,
audacity.
You write the balls. Yeah,
kind of true in a way. It's kind of true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It's like I can sit there, okay, on television. Like I play this game with my wife all the time. I don't know if you do this, but
yeah, you tie him to the bed, and then you say, where are you? Yeah,
but like I can sit there and like watch a TV show and have like one to two connections with certain celebrities on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, you know, it's,
you so know, it's almost like, you're almost like Kevin Bacon.
Kind of like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what we were watching the other day. And, we were watching the trailer for, that stupid Chips movie that's coming out.
Yes.
Oh no. You know what it was? We were watching Carson and I was watching, Lucille Ball was on.
Yep.
All right. So now Lucille Ball is on Carson in 1975.
Right.
She's like 62 years old. Right. She looks like she died 20 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
Like she only died at 77.
Yeah.
But she looking at women in 1975 that were in their 60s, as opposed to looking at women in their 60s now that are still beautiful.
Very, very different.
Like, you know, your wife's in her 60s, and her skin looks like she's 30.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful. And you look like Lucy, and her eyes are sunken, and she looked like she was in a woman in a psychiatric ward putting her red lipstick on. It's like who dressed this lady, and she brought out Desi Arnaz Jr. Okay, so she brings out Desi, and Janice is like, "Who's that?" I go, "That's her son."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Johnny's like, "So what you got going on, Desi?" He's like, "Well, I'm going to be on an episode of Medical Center."
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my wife, I go, "I used to live with the guy who casted Medical Center."
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are you connected to everyone?
Yeah.
I go, "His name's Gary Schaefer. I lived in his house in Hollywood back in 1989. And he was the casting director for Medical Center."
Well, that's better. That's better than your wife saying, "Oh, I know him. I slept with him Thursday."
Right.
I
but I'm just some dumbass from Carver, Mass. That has a business in Brockton. And I have, you know, and because I took some risks early in my life, I got to meet some interesting people. And
That's how you do it.
And I remember these things. You know,
that's how you do
and,
it.
And it was, you know, and then Dom DeLuise is on, and I go, I once was an extra in a movie with Dom DeLuise's son Peter DeLuise when I was in L.A. And she's like, you know,
it all goes back to Kevin Bacon.
Like she doesn't want it, right? It all goes back. Like she doesn't, you know.
She's kind of surprised.
Right. And Mulaney, Punky Brewster was the star of that movie, Soleil Moon Frye.
Right. Now, she was on my show 5 times.
Did you interview her?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yes.
So you interviewed Punky Brewster?
She's a sweetheart.
Really?
She's an activist now.
She's beautiful, too. And she did what I consider the worst thing that any woman can ever do to herself.
What's that?
In a chauvinistic way. Sexist way.
What?
She got a breast reduction.
Oh, I see. Well, I don't know how big they were before
that. They were too big.
Well, then maybe she needed that. Maybe she was bumping into things.
So you should have, next time you have her on, please, please have me in, because I can't find the movie. I didn't even know if there was video VHS. I don't know if it went straight to hell back then, but this is like 1990.
Instead of straight to
TV. I got paid like $50. To be in a Soleil Moon Frye Peter DeLuise movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I got paid to be at a party scene, and my only job was to make out with a chick on the front lawn while they were filming.
Is that bad?
It was like a party. Yeah. Like, you know, the kids like filtering out.
They paid you for this?
I got paid. It was awesome.
Well, show business.
And I, right, $50.
Yeah.
This is like 1980.
You had to actually make out with her.
I had to make out with the chick.
Yeah. And yeah.
She was smoking hot.
And she had no problem with this?
No, it was
she
acting.
She's probably paid double.
It was acting.
I see.
Yes, I didn't.
Well, so they say.
Right.
That's like me going into a bar and saying, no, it's just drinking. That's all it is. Don't worry about it. Hey, we're out of time.
Oh, come on.
No, well, you know, it's got to end someday.
Yeah, it's 7:53. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I usually get to the office at 6:45, and biological clock usually tells me I need to hit the boys' room, you know, so I'm kind of past due.
Obviously.
So Mark's got to go and use the facilities.
Mark's got to go. Thank you, Mark. We'll do this again.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Mark Chepetta. I'm Ron Van Dam, and thanks for listening. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, we wish you peace. Bye.
Bye.